Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm gonna cut this, but I just want her to know that I think she's amazing and I'm proud of her, and she's a beautiful tropical glowfish. Cool.
I tweeted about Mamma Mia 2 on Saturday, and it got it was my fastest like liked per hour tweet ever.
People fucking love Mamma Mia.
I was just like,
here we go again. You know,
I'm very excited about it. I can't wait. Big update since our last podcast. I have now seen The Incredibles.
Brooke saw The Incredibles. Did you go and see Incredibles 2 or nah?
Not
it's
yet.
Okay, you will. Brooke is Jack-Jack, which makes sense. She is a little baby who turns into a demon when she wants to.
Wait, did you see that DM that we got on Splat that asked about me being a baby model urgent care?
No, you must have opened it before I saw it.
I did. Let me go to it really quick because this baby really, really looks like me. Wait, I want to.
I didn't see this already.
I want to look who it's
from. I love that shit.
Amy.
Is it my Amy?
Yeah.
No way. Amy,
like, I love you. There's a very specific photo of me as a baby that looks exactly like
honestly
that.
If this baby just looked a little grimmier, like a little more demon-y,
I have a like
in the expression, because it's like your face, it just needs the like
the devious,
the twinkle, the devious. Exactly.
I have
that's
to,
wild.
There's like one very specific photo that I'm like I'm taking the time to like find.
That's so funny.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's really wild.
It like I like
good eyes it, Amy.
I sent it to my like parents and I was like,
was I?
I was like,
is this still being used?
Is that
years
me?
Later?
The hair, it's just like,
it's yeah, everything about the shade, the length. Well, I can think of, there's one you've posted before that's like,
I mean, that looks like me.
100%, yes. Honestly, you're just cuter because you have more personality.
Oh, well, I have a fucking devil. I have the devil behind my eyes.
Yes, buckets of personality. But that's really crazy. That baby looks like you.
We'll post it on the Instagram.
I wonder if she'll grow up to also look like you.
If her face doesn't change, oh my God, how crazy.
Wild.
I hope when I'm famous, when you hear that universe, when I'm
right.
famous that this like four in like 15 years, this like 14-year-old
she'll play
girl
your daughter.
Is like, no, it's just like, I look like you. I'll be like, I know who you are. I'll be like, when I was 26.
No, she'll play you in the biopic about how
why
you became
is she
famous.
An actor?
I don't know. Because she's already a model.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Come on.
Let her live. I was like, I did modeling
let
when I was
live.
A baby, but I am also an actor.
Uh-huh.
I like, tried to use that as
so
a
did
defense.
I, and then I was also an actor.
Okay. So I've been shut down here.
Yep. You effectively shut yourself down, so it's all good.
Mimo, mimo, mimo.
Speaking of shutdown.
Oh, you just
this is such a bullshit episode. That's all I'm going to say.
Episode
now.
Is
it's just it's one of the it's an infuriating one.
I wish we had a straight white man to be on the podcast this week.
I would like to hear some thoughts from a straight white man
because
about this.
Because this does not do you guys good.
No, it also doesn't do Carrie good.
Oh, she sucks.
When does it ever do Carrie good, I guess? Anyway, though.
I got in a fight with Susan at work today about the content of this episode, and I was like, I know we haven't met this character yet. And she was like, no, you have. And I was like, I know for a fact, and we meet him this episode. We were fighting about Richard.
Who's Richard?
The guy that Samantha is interacting with in
oh,
this episode.
Oh. I forgot names. I can't even keep their names straight.
Yeah.
How's your week been?
My week?
I can't even keep myself straight. Ha, 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 ha. Thank you. There it was.
My week was good. It is just,
you were a Brooklyn babe for the week.
I was a Brooklyn babe for a week. I was dog sitting in Bed-Stuy, and I had pizza 3 times in a row.
Nice. I've done that.
I just was like, I had it for dinner one night, and then I had it leftover for lunch, and then someone was like, I really want pizza, and I was like, okay.
Sometimes I'll just buy slices 3 nights in a row for dinner from the same place.
Yeah. Because why not? Whatever. It was good. I was like, I'm in Brooklyn. I was going to meet Ari, mm-hmm. roommate of the pod.
Oh, yes.
At the Botanical Gardens.
This is a great story.
In Brooklyn. And I was staying right across the park, like basically from where mm-hmm. Bridget and Ari live. And I was like, okay. They have a city bike right outside their building.
I'm going to be so Brooklyn and cute
like,
and
I'm
hip.
I'm going to city bike to the Botanical Garden. It'll only take 20 minutes, which like felt a little long, but I was like, streets, you know? And then I'm like,
streets, you know, Brooke
like,
Weissman
on my city bike. And I like got a little bit lost. I was like, oh, okay. I like went a little bit out of my way. I like found the dock. I texted Ari. He was running a little late. I was like, that's okay. I got lost. I was running a little late, you know, streets. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that I was in Williamsburg and that
I can't believe it took you until that point.
I was like, it didn't register to me that like the Botanical Garden wasn't in Williamsburg, even though I was there a month ago.
Right.
And I looked and I Ari was like, or was it you that was like, the lowercase should have given it away. It just took me to this like weird botanic garden in Brooklyn, but in the picture of the map, there's no green. I should have really just like used my brain head, but I was like, fuck. And so I Ubered.
Then you had to take a car. That's
I Ubered
the worst part.
To the Botanical Garden to meet Ari, who had been waiting very patiently for me for about 45 minutes at this point. And we drove past Anna and Nick's apartment to get there. And I was just like, I've really done fucked up, huh?
Incredible.
And then Ari and I had a lovely time.
Of course you did.
At the Botanical Garden. And we found this. Then we almost went to the zoo, but there wasn't enough time. Because mm-hmm. everything at the Botanical Garden was like a little bit dead.
Yeah.
We made some fun jokes about that.
Uh-huh. As one does when you're emotionally tuned into your surroundings.
I don't know.
We had really good quesadillas on
Saturday. Yeah, I spent a lot of time with you this weekend, which was lovely. We had really good quesadillas at what was it called?
Oaxaca Taqueria, I think.
Sure. And then we watched not just Shrek 1. But also Shrek 2,
which is my personal favorite, as you have all heard me say 10,000 times. It's so good. Also, Brooke was refreshed on the reference I've made a couple of times of the trumpeter who steps out of line and plays us solely.
Bridget really lost it. But also,
so did you, though. And that was so gratifying to me.
It's very, very funny.
That's enough, Reggie.
You should know that both Bridget and I can sing pretty much the entirety of All Star. Uh-huh. We just were like sitting there like monotonously.
Like not really acknowledging
each other. Just like we had a moment where we like, looked at each other.
We're like cool. I think it was when it was the getting warmer part. We were like,
yeah, because
hey.
It's like a big like yep. chunk of verse that's like not necessarily the hook. And we were just like, oh, you know this too? Sweet.
Oh, everywhere? Cool.
As if we weren't like in her apartment on the couch, as if we were like in like a mass of people like sharing this intimate moment.
It was really remarkable.
It was very, very funny.
And it was just like the perfect thing for us to be doing, you know?
We were like gonna go
drinking rosé ciders.
Yeah, I'm really into the roses.
Ari cider. Always wants to go out dancing, and I always disappoint him.
I'm going dancing on Friday.
Fun. Where?
I'm going with some yogi friends to this Disney DJ night.
Oh, my God.
And my friend Chelsea and I were trying to figure out a costume, and it looks like I'm going to be Peter Pan.
Uh-huh.
And she's going to just be my shadow because she wants to wear all black.
That's funny.
So I need to figure out. I have that one, like, green dress
I could
wear.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
But I kind of want to wear, like, leggings and a big t-shirt.
I was gonna say something
a
little
cozy. So I might
like
go to like H&M and get like
yeah why
something.
Not I don't know why not
how and then what else oh sorry I've had a very big week.
No, it's I'm enjoying hearing about it.
I taught my first C2
as if I haven't already. I really am though.
I know Bridget looks amazing right now.
It's because I'm enjoying hearing about your life so
yeah
much.
She looks very comfortable and relaxed. Mm-hmm. And if Oh, so something about my yoga class. So I taught a C2 and it was great. It went really well. I'm on the schedule. So if you follow me on Instagram, come take my class. And like, it'll be fun.
It will be fun.
People tell
She's
me that.
She's really good.
People tell me that my class is relaxing, which I find hilarious because have you ever listened to me on this podcast? Because
you as a human.
A student bought me a Gatorade and I started to cry.
That's
because
so kind.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I really, really love Gatorade.
I didn't know this about you. What's your flavor?
Yellow. Only yellow.
Okay.
Blue if I'm desperate. Mm-hmm. There's just something
I like
about
the yellow one too.
A yellow Gatorade. Kyle and I fight because he calls it green, but it's yellow.
Does he think he thinks it's like electric green?
I don't know.
It's yellow.
It's definitely yellow.
Anyway. That's not a fight. That's just Kyle.
That's Kyle being wrong. You hear that?
We'll get a text in like a week and a half.
And we won't understand.
No.
Well, okay. That's me. That's my turn. What about you, B?
Pretty good. I'm like a little out of my mind in many directions and... I said this on Twitter. This podcast is also just me repeating things I've said on Twitter, but it's felt very apt. My anxiety right now feels like radio static, where like when you're paying attention to it, it's really, you're like, that's fine. That's not really that annoying. You know, I can turn it down, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then it's all the other times when it's just a constant low buzz in the back of everything I do building and it's eating my brain from the inside and I need a damn break, but it's all good things, and I'm, like, trying to lean into momentum and opportunity. Friday night. first Friday at lunch, I walked into Topshop and was like, oh, God, I wish I'd never done this because I'll be
They're
back here all the time.
Sale.
Huge clearance sale. And I bought off the rack this jumpsuit that I'm really obsessed with.
It looks amazing on her long, long limbs.
Thank you. And it's so flowy and soft and it has stars on it and it's cute. And then I took that very jumpsuit and went with my sweet friends Agnes and Nika to the Harry Styles concert. We went to Pensy Food Hall before and got pretty drunk and then went to the concert and got really drunk. It was so fun and emotional. We made friends with the girls who were standing next to us. And we were talking about like the Tumblr days. And Agnes was like, oh, I'm sure you guys followed Bridget. And I was like, don't do it. And she said my username. And I was like, you definitely didn't. And the girl on the far end goes, no, I'm pretty sure I did.
Oh, my God.
There were a couple of times back
all
in the
wanna
heyday.
See. Is this Tumblr?
I know. It's like, that's like the deepest level of privilege. The funny thing is that like so many of my friends just see it because they were in that world with me, but like you have to earn it if you weren't.
I know. I work every day to get a little
You're this close. Is like you're closer than anyone.
This is my biggest quest.
You're really closer than anyone.
Really?
But back in the heyday, I got recognized a couple of times at concerts, which is really crazy.
Oh my
but
God.
It was
I would love nothing more. Like I can like my whole body is like on fire right now to be with you when someone recognizes you for that. Not for like to make like no judgment.
Just to
just
be there.
Like,
just to know it
just
exists.
To observe it would give me so much joy. I don't know. I can't explain to you the feeling that I'm feeling. My entire body feels like it's being like shot with happiness.
That's so funny. I got an anon message once on Tumblr that was like, did you just cross at Ridge and Davis in Evanston? And I was like, holy fuck. And then she came off anon and talked to me. She like lived in the area. It was so, so weird. Anyway, the crazy part of the night, besides all of it, was that somehow in the last like 3 minutes of the night, my phone disappeared. And I realized immediately as we were through security and couldn't go back in. And I just started crying. Agnes and I were both just like holding each other's faces, crying about different things, being very... No, I don't think she was crying yet at that point. She cried later on the train. Anyway, I've realized now, I think this every day the day after, where I end up getting in a cab and I'm like, just take me home. And I'm like, my plan has to be just say, take me to Union Square, mm-hmm. You know? Save so much money and like I can get on the queue there. Anyway, so I made it home and I knocked on Ari's door and I was like, Ari? And he was like, someone found it. And I was like, wait, what? So these two girls, Danny and Kat, found my phone. I have all these like security things on it so you can't use Siri. You like can't swipe from the screen to see any of my information. And you can't read any of my texts like when they pop up even. They called Alex Gatlin. They messaged my roommate, they messaged a friend of mine from high school on Twitter.
They're all people with the name A.
They followed John Schneidman.
That's hilarious.
Well, the thing is, like, Twitter notifications, when they pop up, you can see. Mm-hmm. And people had been texting me. So luckily they saw it. I don't know, looked it up on Facebook or whatever. But so the next day I went on a quest to find it. She lives in Midtown, like blocks from where I work. My phone was perfectly intact, still hanging on at 1%. My monthly Metro card was in it. The cash I had in it was in it. It's literally my luck for the decade. Spent Saturday recovering. We got quesadillas.
And we've now connected.
So it's back. And there you go.
I saw Lady Gaga on the street during Pride.
Oh, how fun. Oh, I spent a 10-hour day babysitting in the middle of Pride.
Yeah.
And it was exhausting.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Can I tell you this really dumb thing that I just thought?
Please do.
So I honestly could not tell you where this came from in my head. But you said something and Be Our Guest came into my head.
Good.
And I was like, what if I were that person where someone was like, how do you spell your name? And I was like, B. And then I just started going to Be Our Guest. I just like had this image of like a cartoon version of me doing that at like a Starbucks.
That's so good. I thought you were going to say, what if I, when I was spelling my name to people, I said B as in Be Our Guest. Like R as in rent.
O as in Oklahoma. O as in once on this island. K as in Kiss of the Spider Woman. E as in
Alphabet, just for fun.
Sure. I took a BuzzFeed quiz today that told me I was a musical theater amateur and I almost complained. I was like, just
dear BuzzFeed.
If there's one thing I know to be true about myself, it is that I am an expert.
If anything, I was overqualified for this quiz, and that was where the problem lies. Get better quiz writers.
Anyway, hi, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke.
Hello, everybody. B. I'm a believer. Wow. We're losing it over here.
It's Tuesday afternoon, folks.
Welcome to
Splat,
the podcast where me, Brooke,
and me, Bridget,
contrary to popular belief, do talk about
Sex in the city.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
Yay.
We are champions.
You guys, this episode, we're talking about ourselves because this episode sucks.
It's kind of a trash heap one. Like, we might fast forward through some of it. Honestly, the only plot line that's worth anything is Miranda's, obviously.
I mean,
nope. I like Samantha's a lot. The end of it.
Charlotte's also like has some like to the context of what she's going through, which is like Charlotte's plot right now with
that's
the like
true.
Trying
okay,
to
so
get pregnant plot.
You're right.
Right now, Charlotte feels very, very far away from us. So in terms
right.
of just like
it,
things,
it matters. It definitely does. You're right. It's far away from us. Mostly, it's just that Carrie is so consuming, and that this particular storyline.
It's interesting.
Her or no is like what is
I
happening?
Will say that Big and Carrie's relationship continues to remind me of a relationship I have in my life.
I mean, yep.
Like every
it really
episode,
is.
I'm just like, wow, I do
shockingly,
that.
Yeah.
What does that mean about me?
Here's my thought about this episode. I think. It just could have been written better.
Mm.
That's all.
Mm.
Like, not even have to be more modern, you know? It's just, like, the conceit is so thin of the plot that makes it all happen.
Yeah.
You're just like, how? This isn't real life here. The concept of it, the yeah. feelings and the emotional entanglement is, but the plot, man.
This scene is funny. So this episode is called Belles of the Ball. And, you know, Steve.
Because it's all about the balls.
Steve has one testicle and they're playing pool.
Just like Brother of the Pod. We love
I know. It. I literally almost texted Alex and was like, excuse me, could you please write a statement on how your life has been post having one ball? But he's on Coney Island right now. So.
Oh, that makes sense. After coming back from a whirlwind 36-hour trip to Chicago.
Right.
Oh, boy. So he is out playing pool.
And Samantha keeps just being like, one ball left. I've only got to come down to this one ball. And you can
Steve will, like, cute walk away and, like, shake it off, kind of.
Miranda looks amazing.
Well, she does.
They're
She's
all
wearing,
wearing,
like, a belted.
Only one color. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. But here's what's interesting. Oh, wait, no. Charlotte's not there.
No.
But it's them plus, like.
Aiden and Steve.
Right. Which is. For Carrie, you know, her boyfriend's there. And for Miranda, it's like.
I think what Bridget means by that is what's happening with them.
Right.
And so, you know, they sort of look like totally spies. Do you remember that show?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, well, for anyone who gets that reference.
That looks
speaking
amazing.
Of, wait, sorry. I just really quickly, speaking of cartoons from our past, did I tell you that I tweeted on Carrie Butler's birthday about Princess Guinevere and
you
the Jewel Riders?
You did tell me this.
And then some weird Princess Guinevere, I didn't tag anybody in them. Some weird Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders like fan account retweeted me. Quoted me and was like, at Carrie Butler from a fan.
You were like,
and
no,
I was like,
bitch.
No.
I would have done that myself if I wanted to.
I was like, this was for me and my 300 and something followers. Like,
alone.
Alone.
Don't you know the internet rules? You respect them.
So, anyway, they're talking about balls.
And whether or not it, like, defines that you're a man or not. Because Miranda's like, nothing's
women don't
changed.
Care. And, like, she's like, women don't care about balls. That's like a big through line to this episode. I'm like, you know what? It's actually not about you.
No.
Imagine having one boob.
Yeah.
I'm sure guys wouldn't think, I mean, it's a little bit
weirder. A little different, a little more visible, but similar concept.
Sounds like if you had one ovary.
Well, Samantha's like, no, men are obsessed with their balls. They like when you tug on them, something I've learned recently.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Had confirmed by people I said casually to. And I was like, damn, I just didn't know tugging was a thing.
I didn't know tugging was a thing. Like interacting with, of course.
I love interacting
it's
with.
It's so fun. They're so sensitive. Ugh. It's like a fucking control pad.
That's why I like all of it.
Me
it's
too.
Control. It feels.
All of a sudden you're just like, oh, who's, I'm the captain
oh,
now.
Oh, I'm going to make you feel that good? Are you sure? Are
we
you
had sure? Different responses to that.
Well, I mean, but
I'm running this sex ship.
But that's what
yeah,
that
no, I know,
is.
I know.
That's my version of that.
Anyway,
so
Samantha runs into some handsome guy. And
who
he mentions that this man, Richard, he just finished designing his hotel. And Samantha asks about who the PR is.
Because
so,
she really wants it. And she says she's been trying to get an interview for months with this guy. So we cut away to our missing duo of Trey and Charlotte having very elaborate Chinese food takeout.
Well, they have to do the waspy way.
Of course.
A little more mushu, my mushu.
My piercer, the person who pierced my nose was named Mushu.
I think I want to get this pierced.
Mmm, fun.
This,
a little hoopy.
This headset.
Yeah, we should. Oh, yeah, we should deck our headsets out. Get a few tats on them. Really so badass.
I want to get just a teardrop on the right here where the mic is.
Love that.
Because this microphone has killed someone.
My soul.
Anyway.
So
Charlotte wants
about
Trey to get his sperm tested. And he's like, no, my precious sperm are not the
like,
problem. What do you mean?
We're just ruling it out. And so this is. So they're making fun of Steve before. And now Trey's having a weird, huge
a
complex
lot
about
of
this. So yeah,
happening.
It's a lot of emasculation and a lot of men being huge babies about it.
Aiden and Carrie are now brushing their teeth in their matching underwear, which makes me, I can't help but wonder, is Carrie wearing a pair of Aiden's underwear?
It sure fucking looks that way, which is
think I vibe with
strange
that.
To me. Yeah, it's not, it's one thing to like put on his shirt, you know.
And he's
you
like, oh, you want to tug my balls? And she's like, I'll tug your balls. And he's like, tug my balls. And then the phone rings.
And he's really like ready for her to do it. It's kind of a cute moment, though.
Yeah, he's like, no, you're going to do it. Too hard.
Too hard. You won't know how to stop.
They're like having a weird, but like she's doing an OTP.
And then the phone rings and it is cute.
They're having a very cute moment. And Aiden answers.
It's the last cute moment of this whole episode.
Bradshaw House of Pain, how can we help you?
Male. Oh, huh. Hey, man,
and
it's
you know,
me.
You know that big
sorry
voice.
To be calling you that late.
And Aiden's like, here, Carrie,
is
the
she
phone.
Here?
And it's...
It's me. I need to talk to you.
Oh, well, now's not really a good time, Mr. Big. We're about to go to bed, me and Aiden, my boyfriend.
She's definitely wearing his underwear. It's important. Willow is totally fucking with my
so
head.
So he's calling
please.
Her for relationship advice about his movie star.
Which is strange on so many levels. Also, many things happen in this episode where you're like, wait, we're supposed to believe Big literally has no friends.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
He's a businessman. Businessmen live alone.
Right.
Life.
They were supposed to get together. She hasn't gotten back to him.
And he looks like drunk.
Yeah, he's very disheveled. He called her on all five. Here's the interesting thing, too, is that he's kind of he is getting head fucked in the way that he did to Carrie.
Don't you think that's interesting, Bridget?
Well, I do, because I think it's part of why Carrie's indulging it, because she likes the power difference.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Yes, I love when I say something about Carrie and Fake and you do your, that's my life voice. It's like, So he's really going
Will
on.
Will wonders never cease? Will wonders never cease?
Never.
You know?
Never. He's talking about how he's following her around like a goddamn dog.
And now Aiden is clipping his
clipping
toenails.
Clipping his toenails like the
last. I just don't know why Aiden wasn't just like, okay, and then went to bed.
Yeah.
Like, why did...
Honestly, because if it was me, I'd want to stay up and listen to and try and figure out what the hell conversation they were having.
He's like making her listen to a voicemail. He's being a little ridiculous.
And yeah, he really is. I mean, he probably is drunk, honestly, because that's, you know... Par for the course.
He's like saying we a lot. We love this song.
And he's Carrie's like, should like, I call her again?
Carrie's like, go, good night. And Aiden is still in the bathroom. And
she apologizes.
And she like tries to bring back pulling his balls. And he's like, nah.
Which honestly would not be my approach back into that. Like she just doesn't treat this like it is the situation it is, you know? She comes at it like... From angles that you wouldn't expect to work, and then is surprised when they don't really
and
work.
And Aiden's kind of like, why did you have to leave the room to talk to him?
That's what I mean. That's why I would have stayed in the bathroom, too, because I'd be suspicious as fuck.
Well, I guess, yeah, she went into the... She lives in a...
And he... Well, she says, I didn't want you to be uncomfortable.
And he's like, you think I'm threatened by him? And it's like, you... And he's talking about... She's like, it becomes about fighting, and he's like,
it becomes, I could take him, and Carrie's like, what are you
talking
about?
I'm the Green Hornet, and Big is Batman, and you expect Batman to win because
he's got all the gadgets,
but the Green Hornet's got Kato, who I don't know what that is, a sidekick, I'm assuming, and it's like, Pete's my Kato.
I remember hearing for the first time when I listened to the episode we did last week that you saying quietly in the background, he's probably dead, about Pete. I was like, I can't believe I didn't hear that when he said it. It's so funny.
So now.
And true, sadly.
We're now at brunch and.
They're debriefing. She's like, I don't care if he's the green bee.
Well, yeah, because she's talking king.
She's talking about the comics she's referring to.
She's like, he really has nothing to worry about.
Maybe I should try to get Big and him and me together.
There's a song about this called The Middle that isn't the song that we love. But another song called The Middle that's like all about like. A new boyfriend and an old lover,
interesting.
Like, and her being in the same room.
That just seems selfish to me, because the only reason you want it to happen is for your ease of life.
Yeah.
Like, Aiden doesn't need friends.
I think it just, like, depends on the, like, nature of the breakup.
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's true. If it's amicable and you want to stay.
But this, especially when there's, like, a cheater situation and like involved, it doesn't really feel like you need to have a powwow and sing kumbaya.
It never feels like she's treating it with as the reality of the situation that it is.
Yeah. And so all these men are sort of lashing out.
Miranda, understandably, too, is like, do you want to just have a big plate of crazy for lunch? Like, why would you put yourself in that situation?
Yeah. And then Miranda's like, Steve won't talk to me about his ball. Because Steve wants to get a fake testicle.
Yeah.
And she's like, I keep trying. This is the only one where I'm kind of like, Miranda, like, he actually gets ownership of his own
testicle. Yeah.
Ball sack, if you will. And
I think she feels a little bit like, you shouldn't need it to, you know, it doesn't define you and girls don't care.
And that's not really what it's about. And yeah. Charlotte's kind of being like, Trey has, you know.
Well, she's like, it's about the sperm, you know, like he has to acknowledge that we have to test it and see.
So she says body image depression, unpredictable mood swings, late night phone calls, obsessing about a relationship. Did I mention these are, she's describing all of her friends and she's
did
like,
I mention these
those
are
my male friends?
It seems the worlds of men and women aren't so different as pop culture would have us believe.
She's wondering like if instead of living on Venus and Mars.
Are their zip codes are closer together?
Maybe because we all live on planet Earth. Are men just women with balls? And it's kind of like.
And then a close up on some giant dog balls walking down the street.
I mean like Are men just women with balls? Are women just men with vaginas? Like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah. Well, it's
dogs,
it feels very 1990 or 2001 reductionary of this, you know?
Like, I'm trying to think of other ones. Are dogs just cats who are dogs?
Yeah, basically. I was going to finish that the same way, yeah. It's like a really silly Carrie reduction of a question, which is, are the stereotypes that we assign to cis men and women a lot blurrier than
maybe
we think
that's
they are?
Why the world's becoming
more
the beautiful, wonderful world.
Fluid. Although it's also becoming the horrible, terrible nightmare town, but it's true.
I would like one ticket to Horrible Terrible Nightmare Town.
To
one-way ticket, please. So Steve and Miranda are spending a lot of time together, but we haven't DTR'd yet.
No, they're definitely not.
For
they're
those
still
of
friends.
You who don't know, DTR means to define the relationship.
Right, right, right. They haven't had the talk.
The talk. I am tired.
So Miranda's really kind of like giving him a hard time, and he has a good point, which is women get breast implants all the time, especially if you've had a mastectomy. Like mm-hmm. that's often a choice. Some women don't, some women do.
And she's like, I wouldn't know if you had one or three or four. And he's like, but I know.
He's like, every time I look down at my nuts, correction, nut, I look all lopsided.
I don't really.
She says women don't care. And it's like,
we care about nice arms, great eyes, a big dick, a glowing, and I posit. A glowing personality, a sense of humor.
I have never heard honesty. He had such a big full scrotum.
I've said
something similar.
Some crazy balls. The first thing I clock about a man is his balls.
I like to look him right in the eyes.
It's like, you, me, I'm about to own you.
That's right. I look him in the eyes and then I look his balls in the eyes.
So here we go. Richard Wright.
Smart, tough, real ball buster, he says about Samantha.
Kind of looks like he could be the Green Goblin.
He does. Who is this actor? Is it? It's like a young version of someone who I've seen as something recently, and he's like still kind of old and hot.
I will tell you.
She's weird looking.
If you tell me what's happening in this episode.
So a secretary is like trying to get his attention, and he waves her off, and he's like intrigued by Samantha. They're having a nice little talk, and he says, I'm talking to Brad Rosen. Maybe you two can get together and share the work.
And she's like, the fuck?
Five hotels, it's a big job. And she says, I know it's a big job. That's why I'm still here and not down in the lobby having a cappuccino.
James Raymar, Gotham.
Oh, Gotham. That's it. I thought so. So he's basically telling her, he tells her to read between the lines of what he's saying, which is basically, you're a woman.
And I don't want to hire you. He's like, I deal with a lot of businessmen. And I'm like, the fuck? And this is the first time we really see like Samantha kind of like up.
Yeah.
That was me hissing like a mm-hmm. cat.
Especially towards and about men, you know, usually she's pretty easy going there.
Yeah. But as a businesswoman, I feel like businesswoman Samantha, I like so much more than like sexual predator.
Me too.
Samantha.
And we don't really get that much of her. And when we do, it's, you know, like her with her assistant or
and
whatever.
And so now they're at lunch and Miranda's like, yeah, this happens all the time. They think you're too emotional, which like.
Because that's something that Richard Price bites out at her at the end as she's leaving. He's
right,
like.
Right. Price.
White. Right.
Richard. The right hotel. Richard Price.
Thank you. There you go. He bites it out, you know, that she, you know, someone not so emotional, basically.
Yeah. And
which is such a
and
whistle.
Carrie's like, one time I told my editor I was having a hard time and then he let me go. And so I went to the Hamptons and it was like, you're the problem.
Deadline and cried.
Don't make Charlotte cry. Like, they're all sharing their experiences.
She says, what does he think I'm going to do? Get my period and ruin his empire?
You know what I'm going to say, Bridget?
Yeah.
Here you come. This conversation is the 2001 version of the, like, we're going to walk around and share our Me Too stories.
Oh, yeah. That's like, right. That episode that we read. The
This conversation is the, like, I have been, you know, and you know what I want to hope is that, like, women in 2001 saw this and were like, oh, this isn't okay that I'm being treated like this in the workplace either. And, like.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, like, yes, as an episode, this whole.
And we'll recognize the rage and the, like, the moment. Because, I mean. Like, I probably both of us, I mean, I know I have in my lifetime been called emotional or,
literally,
like, as a way to just, like, shut it. Well, it's.
By my. Yeah.
It's I've a had, way to shut you down. It's a way to.
It's a way to
power.
Diminish mm-hmm. how you're feeling. It's like.
Well, it becomes about policing the way you're doing something instead mm-hmm. of the content of what you're doing. It's kind of. It's a similar concept to, like, the stereotype of, like, angry black woman, mm-hmm. you know, where. People want them to be nicer about what they're saying. And it's like, no, fuck you. They're allowed to be angry. This is angry making stuff. Same thing, like, fuck you. If I am emotional, which often that's just code for I don't want to deal with you and this is easier. But sometimes I do get emotional about shit and that's not weakness.
No, not weakness. But what I'm saying is that this episode as a whole is not our favorite. But I think this conversation is important.
Absolutely. I can also imagine having watched this as a 12-year-old and just seeing them, like, talk about stuff like this would be so ingrained into my psyche.
And
she says, I'm going to impress that motherfucker so much he's gonna beg me to take the job.
And Charlotte's like, don't cry. And Carrie's like, I'm going to suffer.
There'll be some tears. And she's reading an InStyle that has Willow, what's her face?
Summers.
Yeah, Willow Summers,
Big's girlfriend
on the front of it, and horribly photoshopped photo.
Yeah, horrible.
She's wearing a very see-through tank with black bra.
She looks just like Natasha.
She really does. Oh, I didn't even catch that.
And
the new girlfriend looks like a knockoff Natasha.
And so Big calls again, and he's like really sad. And he's like, I thought you were in the city. And she's like,
I got this number off your answering machine.
She's like, I'm upstate. And he's like, she broke up with me.
She never wants to see me again.
Carrie's like, I'm sorry. And
she's genuinely like, he's really having a hard time on the other end of the phone. He's like, I don't even know what I did. See, she can reach me, but I can't get her.
Which is, you know, exactly what, how Carrie felt mm-hmm. about Big. Time is a weird circle.
Yep. She's crazy. I'm telling you, she has the eyes of a crazy person. And he's talking about what a chump he was. And basically, this is where the writing here goes off the rails. This just doesn't make any sense. So the combination of Big is suffering. He has no one else apparently in his life who he can talk to about this.
And he's like,
and Carrie has to talk to Carrie.
Because Carrie, yeah. Which is like, I just don't understand why, like, when you don't give someone in a relationship the thing that they want, that you think that it's okay to like call and complain about how you're going through the thing. I don't think he realizes that that's what he's doing. Because he's a fucking man boy. But like,
if I was Carrie, I would have such a hard time with this.
I mean, maybe it's helpful because she's like in a quote happy relationship. Right. But this is like doesn't feel like,
also we
I would
seen,
not let this fly I no. don't think.
And we haven't seen enough like actual development of their friendship. You know, like she and Aiden have really only been back together for like a few episodes, you know, which is a lot of
like
time,
months,
but it's not like this doesn't make sense. He's only just started talking to her about this relationship. So the thing that just really doesn't make any sense is that the solution to this somehow is that they both agree that Big is now going to get into his car and drive to Aiden's country house to come talk to Carrie more.
Because he's like, I have to see you. And he's like, maybe the drive will be good. And she's like,
and she can't
she
say
says,
no even now.
Well, I'll come up for an hour. You'll come in for an hour, and then he's like, and then I'll leave.
And he's like, how do I get there? Let me get a pen. She has a lot of opportunities to say, I don't think this is a great
idea. She hasn't even asked Aiden. And if I were Aiden
there,
I would be fucking furious because, like, Big is the reason they broke up in the first place.
And she literally didn't even ask. And he's not just the reason. She literally cheated on him with him. So he comes up, of course, and she's anxious. And she's like, well, it was Big, and this whole thing happened. And
I invited him up. And Aiden's like, the fuck?
Literally, as he should be. She's like, I didn't mean to. I just got trapped. She's so, like, she does this thing again, similarly to when they were having their big emotional conversations, where she's like, you know, I would never, right? And it's like, dude, you have done all of these things. Like, just telling someone you're not going to do things.
And she's like, I understand that you don't want me to work out. I understand you don't want me to do this, but he's going to come. We're going to talk. And then we're going to go.
He's already on his way. Like, it's going to be fine. He'll leave. She hugs him. And she's like, you're my man and I love you.
And he's like gripping this pole like he's about to rip it off.
He's just a friend in pain. I would never do this, but he's really hurting. And it's like, that's not never doing this. You
and
are
she
literally
goes,
doing
she
it.
She goes, come on. Haven't you ever had a girl break your... And before she can even say it, he kind of like looks at her like, you dum-dum.
And she realizes she's a dum-dum.
Yeah.
He also is in this hilarious like...
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, like no sleeves plaid shirt thing. It's great. He looks real good in this episode,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, he's hot. Hot.
Carrie also seems to have really adjusted to the country. No complaining. No. It's
she really develops quickly, that Bradshaw.
Yeah. So
Steve and Miranda
are at the doctor's looking at the prosthetic.
Fake balls. And Miranda goes, I dropped the ball.
Because she takes it and it like slips right out of her fingers. And then they have a hole. He's like, okay, it comes in extra small, small, medium or large. And Steve is like, well, I don't know. Miranda, what do you think? And she says, medium.
And he's like, oh, not what? Large.
I was thinking large. And then he's like, medium.
And she's like,
to
no,
himself, very resigned.
He's like, a large medium.
She says, well, I'm not an expert. Anyway, so then the doctor tells them that it's actually part of an ongoing clinical trial that the FDA hasn't like rated any of this yet. And he's like, but it's perfectly safe. Steve's like, see, the doc says it's perfectly safe. And Miranda's like, no. And honestly, this is where I think she's justified. I think all of the times up until this, not that she can make the decision for him, mm-mm. but yeah, bad idea. Don't get something installed in your body that hasn't been like tested properly yet.
Lawyer Miranda's like,
that's what they said about the Ford Pinto.
Think about it, Steve. You want a Pinto near your penis? I don't know what happened with the Ford Pinto.
Me either, but I kind of like just to want to imagine. So Trey and Charlotte, Trey's in the room and in the doctor's office trying to jack off into a cup. And Charlotte comes in and she's like, you wanted me? And he's like, well, our old problems are returning. And she whips out a Jugs magazine, which is what they used originally to try and solve this problem. And she's like, look, it's the big booby bonanza thing. And she keeps showing him photos of big boobed women. And he interestingly replies because he's like, you knew I'd have a problem, which kind of like feeds into his anxiety and everything. And she's like, no, I just wanted to be prepared in case.
And then she basically jacks him off and he meeps into the cup.
He meep, moop, moop, boop, boop.
He jizzes into a cup.
Yep.
And she's like, you have strong Scottish sperm.
We love the Scottish sperm.
And she tugs on his balls and it feels good to him.
Yeah.
It all comes down to the balls.
Down to the tugging. There he goes.
This is really
do
weird
that
to
thing
watch
I like.
Fast.
Which thing? You know, give a little tug. And then his eyes go wide. Better than fine. So Richard tells Samantha that she is indeed the best person for the job, but he can't hire her.
Because she's a woman.
And the interesting thing
because she's a woman.
No, it's not. But so she's like, I want to hear you say it. And he says, fine, you slept with my architect. But here's the thing. He basically is saying you're a woman because as the conversation progresses, Samantha has an amazing response. I mean, this is one of her best monologues in the show that I've seen so far. She stands up and she asks him, how does my personal life affect your business? And he says, well, how does your personal life affect your business? She's like, listen, that was a million years ago. And here's the thing. If I was a man, you would have shook my hand, given me a scotch and given me this job. And then she gets up and she fucking leaves. And here is, she is a, like a real person with complex emotions. She barely makes it to the elevator. She can hear him coming after her. She's like slamming the doors open.
Because she's about to cry.
She's about to cry. And the doors close and you see her face like crumple in the metal reflection from the doors. And in this like 2 minutes does more for Samantha as a human being. Ugh. He's calling after her. You know, he clearly. And the thing is, she's fucking right.
Yeah.
What he was saying was effectively double standard still.
And then she cries.
And she's still so beautiful.
The next day, Richard Wright hired Samantha. Oh, it is.
And he told her.
He admired her balls. I'm proud of her.
I'm glad we've gotten to the point where women can be badass without having to be related to, like complimented as if they were men, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that was a compliment, you know, to Samantha, but also, like, she doesn't need balls to be dope.
No. Neither do you, Alex. Don't you forget it.
Don't you forget it.
I love you. He looked so handsome on his Instagram today.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
He's finally learned how to use portrait mode on his phone.
That's a wow. Hasn't he had it for a while?
Not that long.
Oh, no. He didn't get it when you did. He got it recently. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So Big rolls up and he's listening to New York State of Mind, his song with what's her face, Willow. And Carrie gets in the car and she's like,
what is your problem? Well, so yeah, he pulls up and it's
this,
raining.
Puppy
and
dog eyes.
Like the worst guest of all time, he just leans on the horn so Carrie goes out to the car to talk to him. And she's basically like, listen, dude, you have to come inside.
And he's like, I don't want to.
He's like, I want to get a drink.
I
and she's
get
like,
a
we're,
drink,
in
mommy.
We're in the forest. Crazy. So
she's like, why are you listening to that? And honestly, I resonate with Big here because
I do this shit all the time.
I'm like, I'm going to listen to this song that makes me think of this person.
Let me lean into my misery.
Let me just go for it. It
feels so good to be sad sometimes. It's New York State of Mind, as we've said. Anyway, so it's really, really raining. And Carrie basically is like, Big goes, is he in there?
Carrie's like, duh.
I can't talk about this in front of him. She says, yes, you can, and you better. Honestly, if I was her, I would be so uncomfortable at this point. I would sit in the car with him, have the conversation, and make him leave.
But it's raining, and we don't want
to. He said an hour. He's also chain smoking in the car.
An hour and 2 bottles of red wine lime. Red lime waiter. Please welcome to the stage, red lime waiter.
We love her. Big has gotten drunk, is playing with his hair, and is reading the article in Vogue or whatever, in Style, that Carrie was reading of Willow Summer.
Aiden just like sitting there with his chin in his hand being like.
Literally not eating, not doing anything, just kind of watching the show. And he's like, wait, read this one. I'm just looking for that special someone. And he's like, that's bullshit. She's not looking for anyone. He's just picking through the... Let's go have a drink and a smoke sometime, he says to her face on the cover. And then they're basically like, oh, he pulls out a cigarette. and Carrie.
You can't smoke here.
Carrie says it. Carrie like lays down the law for him. Aiden's just sitting there next to her, arms crossed, shaking his head. She's like, you can't smoke in here. And so he's like, all right, I guess I better get back. Gets
he's
up.
So drunk.
He's got the stumblies.
After two bottles of wine.
I guess the implication is that he's the only one who's drunk, Fem. Which, duh. He should. He. You were going to let him drive if he could walk? That's crazy. If he had, even if he had a bottle of wine. Anyway, Aiden disappears because Carrie's like, he can't drive. And
he's like, I'll call my driver. And we're like, we're outside, an hour outside of New York. He starts singing New York State of Mind.
He's still chewing his cigarette in his mouth.
Gross.
Yeah, it's
and
really gross.
And she's like, sleep on the couch.
He says, I better not. He doesn't want me here. And Aiden reappears and throws a blanket and pillows at him and is like, you're not driving. Sleep on the couch. Which, you know what? I mean, it's the only thing to do at that point. But also, Carrie invited him here without asking, invited him into the house, got him drunk, and now he has to sleep there.
After the ball plan backfired, Miranda took Steve out to dinner.
And then she has gotten him this book called The Art of Healing or something. And she's like, it's about healing. And she says, Steve, I'm starting to hit my limit. I know I was just really counting on that.
Her limit
ball.
Of what?
I think she means her limit of like him being mopey and her being able to help, which is maybe like, okay, then just bow out, babe. But he says, this may be hard for you to understand, but who's going to fuck a uniball bartender? Which is kind of like, it's, yeah, of course, it's so much bigger and more complicated than just having a ball or not. And it's tied to identity. And Miranda realizes there's something she can't do. And she unzips her his pants. And the cutest thing, too, he like before he does anything, he puts his hand behind her head because he just like he's ready for it. And as they fall, it's like a perfect little like kiss.
It's great.
It's so cute. And it's so much better than any of Miranda's other kisses.
Because it's with Steve. So Aiden now is outside. The next morning is like throwing a ball.
Early in the morning, he's shooting hoops, a.k.a. literally like playing wall ball just against the side of the house.
Big wakes up like a fucking dump dump.
I'm sure he feels like a dump dump.
He is a dump dump.
He is. And he's like, isn't it a little early to be playing basketball?
And
as Carrie, if they should be accommodating him.
It's so gross.
And then
she goes, you have to go out there and make friends with him. And I'm like, send his ass home. Leave sweet little, this is why people love Aiden.
Yeah.
Because Aiden is being such a fucking mensch during this whole thing.
He really honestly is.
Yeah.
The fact that he hasn't thrown him out. So he's like, we have, and that's the thing. That's where it's like, Carrie, this desire for you in this situation is entirely selfish.
Yeah.
You want it to be easy and good for you. Neither of these people have incentive to be friends with each other.
And they don't
want
to be, and they shouldn't have to be.
No, nor should they have to
this
be.
This is
exactly.
Literally just for Carrie.
So to tell him he has to go make friends, like, dude, that doesn't make any sense. Let him drink his coffee and drive home. If anything, go out there and say, thank you so much. I'm sorry. I'm a fuck up and leave.
Yeah.
So the understandable thing happens, honestly, which is that Big tries to go out and be his like dopey, charming dude self. And Aiden is
and
not
they
interested.
They get in a big fight.
They literally start physically fighting. And because of the rain, it's muddy. And then they have a
They're fighting
full
the mud, and then,
boy mud fight.
And then Pete, the dog, comes and bites Big on the ass. And that like ends the fight. And then...
Well, Carrie comes out and she tries. She's like trying to get them apart.
She's like, you are middle-aged men.
And they're so dumb. They're so dumb.
They're so dumb.
So Carrie can't break it up, but sweet, sweet Pete does. And then the
and
funny thing...
They make a Kato joke.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
And then the funny thing is they end up going back inside and like eating
and like,
dinner.
And the two of them are like...
Bonding
now. And because and he Big is saying the same thing to Aiden that he said to Carrie on the phone first, like, I can always she can reach me, but I can never reach her. And Big's like, that's fucked up, man.
And Aiden's like, yeah, that's super fucked up. I don't
and
Carrie's they just like needed to fight,
I guess. That's the implication. It doesn't really, I guess so, because it's like so silly now that you'd do anything but talk. And it's so clearly not about Carrie, but also Carrie is now kind of like annoyed they're talking.
Carrie's like, the storm passed and I never fully understood why. Okay, men and women don't live in the same zip code.
But we're moving closer.
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
All of her silly boiled down metaphors. But I'm like, what did you gain out of this? Now you're watching the guy who you clearly still have somewhere feelings for, even if you won't tell them to yourself because you won't let go of him. And you're the love of your life, apparently.
Quotes, yeah. quotes.
Hard quotes.
I'm going to give that a hard quote.
Hard quote. Who'd you resi with?
Big.
I was just going to say.
No, just kidding. Kind of. No, I resonate with Carrie, unfortunately. Not the Aiden part of it, but the big part of it. I don't have an Aiden. Sorry.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, though. I mean, it's part for the Brooks story course, you know? It follows.
And what about you, Bridgie?
I'm not sure. And the interesting thing is, I actually, for the first time, significantly registered with Samantha a little bit because I work in a very high like fast-paced, mostly high-powered men environment, which is fascinating and frustrating. Good example of that was like we have shared community kitchens, and I walked into the kitchen over by my side to put a mug in the dishwasher, and there was an attorney standing there. No, I didn't have a mug on me. I just walked in to get water. That's why. And there was an attorney in there putting his mug in the dishwasher. And he turned and looked at me and said, "This is getting pretty full. We should probably run it." And then closed it and walked away. And I was just left standing there like, oh, my God. Because the worst part was I was already planning to do it. So there I have the moments where it's very clear I am a young woman in the workplace often. And it's frustrating and motivates me. But Carrie a little bit, things are complicated, Big a little bit. Yeah. What were you going to ask? Tell the story about.
Can you tell the story about other Bridget McNamara?
Oh my God. So I got a notification at like 11 PM last night that said, Miss Bridge Mac followed you. And I was sitting next to Ari and I said, I don't like this. Is this my, like, an alternate me trying to contact me through the universes? So this woman, whose name is Bridget McNamara, spelled the French way, which is funny because I also said to Ari, her name is spelled the French way, which is not as good. And then she was really sweet and was like, not as cool as your name. hang on, I'm just trying to find the photos.
So funny.
So she messaged me. She followed me and then she messaged me. So she said, I'm Bridget McNamara. Like hard eyes, lots of hearts. And I said, ah, how neat. Hi. She said, hi, hardly as cool as you, but I love our name. I'm Bridget without the traditional Irish spelling. I love finding other Bridge Macs. And I was like, oh no, I'm in it now. So I followed her back anyway. And it's, I think I'm in a cult now.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
Ploppability?
Pretty ploppable.
There's no reason why it's not ploppable.
Yeah, it's all a little bit removed. I think
there would be an update in the topics.
Mm-hmm. Update on the topics, yeah. In the conversation around the workplace, and Charlotte and Trey's would look a little different probably. Like it would be, there's so many issues around fertility, but also just like solutions and technology and out of the box ways to do it, you know, that they'd be pursuing. Miranda and Steve clearly is ploppable. And Carrie's is just badly written, I think.
Yeah.
I think like the idea of your ex and your current boyfriend crossing over in that way could happen. You know, and other.
Do you think, okay, I know this isn't a podcast about girls, but like, you watch any of Girls?
I've only seen one episode.
Okay.
Sorry.
So it's weird because I feel like the thing that made Girls so exciting for people was that like the Miranda was the centerpiece. Whereas like, you still have a Charlotte in Shoshana and you still have a Samantha in Jessa, but like the Carrie Miranda roles are like
flipped right,
because I guess I think Allison Williams would be the Carrie
that makes sense to me just from like knowing her and the characters a little bit.
So I think that is why people were so excited about it, because it was doing the same type of thing.
Interesting.
For us,
yeah, even though that makes sense,
but they still even had like, but in a similar way their problems were, so even though they were in their 20s, like their problems still felt really, like, non-relatable and not attainable.
Right. Right. Yeah. That makes sense to me. And I think also now that there's just a desire to see more, not an anti-hero exactly, but, like, us with female characters in particular, complex ones who are, like, mm-hmm. allowed to be, you know, fuck-ups or not particularly flawed. Interesting.
We're really into the, like, what is it? The distrusted narrator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's unreliable narrator.
That's what I thought you were going for, but I like distrusted.
That's a bad, no.
Unreliable narrator. Yeah. No, it's, we just have so much more and better and varied content, mm-hmm. you know, now. It's a blessing because yeah. I consume a shitload of it.
Yeah, me too. Delties, upsies, delties, downsies?
My delta up is honestly that this month is over. I kind of feel like a door is closing on just like this part of the year and some experiences, and like I'm really just leaping into all of the open shit from here. Mm-hmm. My delta up is that my phone is not lost into the mm-hmm. ether somewhere. My delta up is that what was I gonna say? Well, I lost it, but it's there. So just know there are some other things that are good changes for the better. Delta down. I am sad now that the days are going to get shorter.
I know, it's beginning.
Predictable, but, and I'm stretched way too thin at the moment, but it's okay. We keep moving and we do it together. How about you?
My delta up is that I think, I'm going on a little trip next weekend.
Fun.
That's
exciting.
Not next weekend. Yeah, a week from this weekend mm-hmm. to visit someone. And my delta up is that I'm healing my soul.
Good.
I've been like super anxious lately,
yeah.
as I've talked about, but I feel everything's sort of settling and I'm getting better at like saying no to it's things inspiring. That I don't think will serve
Fuck
me.
Yeah, that's a talent.
And I'm just like, I'm doing better at like practicing self-compassion. Mm-hmm. I'm like, mm-hmm. I've been really hard on myself about like being sad about things, and I'm letting myself sort of like experience it because.
You just, you loop yourself in deeper when you do that, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. My delta down is that, I don't really have like an active one. I would like this like anxiety to go away, and I would like everything to fix itself. But and I would like
some, wouldn't that be
I
nice?
Would I would like outcomes to be outcomes.
Yeah, I would like families to never be separated from yeah, each other.
I'm
I would
just
like
my life feels very consequences. Like unanchored right now.
Yes,
like I don't feel like really tied down to anything mm-hmm. which like I'm trying to think of as a good thing, but it's really not in the nature of who I am.
I get that so
hard. I'm feeling very unsettled.
Fully get that.
And like just there's like changes and I have to readjust, and I'm just like trying to be good about it, and it's really hard and I'm having a hard time.
But so you're doing the work.
I'm doing the work. I forgot there was another thing I was gonna say. I don't know.
I don't know either. What are you reading right now?
I'm still reading Lincoln and the Bardo. Oh,
nice.
I
just read Sing Unburied Sing, mm-hmm. which I think, well, I have a few pages left of it, but which I really loved. And I think your brother read recently because I saw it on Goodreads.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah.
I have a question. If I wanted to find you on social media, how could I do that?
Well, you can't.
Oh.
Just kidding. You absolutely can. It's literally all I do all the time. As I said the other day, social media is a nightmare, and I will never stop using it. My Twitter is at Mrs. Burt Macklin. Thank you very much. And my Instagram is BridgetM37. Brookethy, where I can find you?
Over the rainbow. You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman, and you can find me on Instagram at BrookeWiseman_. And if you put an underscore, I will throw hot chicken thigh juice on your face.
Ooh, nice. I was thinking about maybe taking our straws and just like slowly inserting them into someone's ears.
Oh, nice.
But I like chicken thigh juice too. I like the specificity of it.
I made chicken thighs earlier.
Good call.
Yeah, they're really good. I had it for dinner. Collectively, we are at Splat Podcast, wherever you find social all those media. Things. I always want to say wherever you get your podcast, which is true.
Which is true.
I had a really weird sex dream during my nap today.
Wow.
It was like I was hooking up with this. I was in a movie or a project, and I was hooking up with the actor who was playing my brother, and I was going through this like weird moral question about like, is it okay that I'm hooking up with you because you're playing my brother, but like you're also just an actor.
Oh, that's funny.
And he was really hot and the sex was really good, and I'm very,
that seems like just a vehicle for a good sex dream, honestly.
I really love it. I'm starting to hit that point where I'm like, I need to have sex soon.
Mm-hmm.
So keep you posted.
Hey, love that. We'll check back in. Can't wait.
Please rate, review, subscribe. Love your work.
Love your work.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.